You know, I like that video for a lot of different reasons, but one of them is that, you know, during Christmas, especially commercially, I think we get excited about the lights and just the anticipation of Christmas morning, and there's so much stuff that we get wrapped up in. But, you know, you think the word Savior, you need a Savior when you're struggling. You need your Savior when you're afraid. You need a Savior when things aren't going according to plan, right? And really, that's what we're going to get into today. We're going to talk about, again, a third gift that Jesus absolutely wants for you this Christmas. And it's in the real times that these gifts take on new meaning or are super helpful. Or I guess we re-remember how much God loves us in the midst of this crazy life that we're living in. So kind of to get going on this, I want to ask you guys a question just to see if you guys think this is true. No matter how special you'd like Christmas to be, it seems like invariably something goes wrong in the midst of it. Anybody have any agreement with that? You can replace Christmas with just about anything in life. No matter how special you want an occasion to be, no matter how hard you've worked at it to make sure that it's perfect, somehow our imperfections get in the midst of it, and it just doesn't quite go the way we thought it was going to go. Or how about plans for the future? Or how about things that you'd like to do? All sorts of different things. So prevalent is this that when I'm doing premarital counseling with a couple that's going to get married, I just tell them this: look, if you guys get married, it was a good day, right? It doesn't matter if the caterer shows up with the wrong food. It doesn't matter if you don't like the way that your bridesmaids are dressed. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. As long as you're married at the end of the day, it's a good day. And the rest of this stuff just makes for cool stories for the rest of your marriage. You couldn't believe what happened on our wedding day or whatever. But it's keeping the main thing, right? That's what's super important. It's maintaining a perspective as we go through life. And I was thinking about this whole idea in the midst of Christmas, and I kind of wrote some things down that might not go according to plan. And so, you know, that gift that you sent away for, that you ordered on Amazon, that they were sure that it was going to get here on the 20th, is now going to get here on the 28th. Didn't go according to plan. Santa can't figure out how to put the bicycle together. Didn't go according to plan. Grandma's fruitcake doesn't taste like fruit or cake for some reason. Not according to plan. The overpriced Christmas tree dries up. The lights burn out. The cat gets electrocuted. Way too many people are smiling right now. That's not okay. Uncle John gets drunk. Someone hurts your feelings. And the list really can go on and on and on and on. It just seems like sometimes, no matter how much we plan for something, Christmas or whatever it is doesn't quite go the way we thought it was going to go in life. And that's where we get frustrated, and that's where we get sidetracked, and that's where we get afraid so often, because it just didn't go where you thought it was going to go. I mean, can you even imagine that very first Christmas? I mean, think about it. That very first Christmas, I mean, nobody was expecting Jesus to be born. I mean, nobody's really expecting the Messiah to come then. They were expecting a Messiah someday, you know, like someday we're going to have kids, but they weren't expecting Messiah to come today. They planned the Messiah too to be sort of a warrior king when he came. I mean, so that we couldn't miss it when he came. He would right all wrongs. He would overthrow Rome. He would give them preeminence in the world. They just weren't really thinking that he was going to come to save them from their sin. And nobody made plans about Jesus being born as a baby. I mean, the prophecy was there, but they were kind of expecting some big thing, some obvious thing that God was entering into the world. And yet the birth of Jesus is really why we celebrate Christmas, isn't it? That unique design, that precious gift, man, did it mess everything up. It messed up things in politics. King Herod kind of spun in circles trying to figure out who this new king was. It messed up the religious leaders' plans. They had everything going the way they wanted it to. They weren't ready for the Messiah. The social plans of the city of Jerusalem and others got upended, and even personal plans. I don't think it's such a stretch to say, you know, Mary and Joseph were a little bit affected by this. I mean, think about it. They're getting ready for their wedding day. It's a good day. They're excited. I mean, they have so much that they planned. They've spent time together. Mary, you know what she's doing. She's writing her new last name, trying to get that just signature just right. I mean, she's super excited about it. Joseph, man, he's working extra shifts at the Jerusalem Home Depot, trying to get enough money for the honeymoon. I mean, all that stuff's going on. They're dreaming of little Marys and Josephs running around someday. And all of a sudden, boom, God gives them a different plan. All of a sudden, an angel shows up and says, "Hey, Mary, I know you got a lot of cool things planned. I'm super excited for you guys too. It's going to be awesome. But God wanted me to share with you a couple things that just might change things up just a little bit. First of all, you're going to get pregnant before the wedding. Yeah, and oh yeah, Joseph's not going to be the father. That might complicate. And God's going to be the son. It's this little virgin birth thing that we're doing, a little miracle we're doing up in heaven. We want to do some really cool things. Savior's entering into the world, but we're going to use you guys. Do you think that would change things up just a little bit? Put a little bit of a kink in all of the plans that you had set forward? A little bit of a kink in the future plans as you thought about them? And I think we can relate to that. I mean, not to the virgin birth and not to speaking to an angel perhaps, but I think we all get those times where things just don't quite work out the way, you know, we thought they were going to. Give you some other examples. How about COVID? That's changed things, hasn't it? My uncle got sick, I'll call it sick, in the midst of this time, and he was in a hospital, and then he was in a care facility for pretty much this whole time. His wife had to talk to him through a window outside, you know, just to say hi to him for huge chunks of this period of time. That was not what they had planned for this couple-year period. That they didn't plan on him getting sick. They didn't plan on having him go through this alone. It was just different. It wasn't as good. How about $4 gas prices or hyperinflation at the grocery store or frustration in trying to find anyone who can still deliver a Christmas gift by, you know, Christmas this year? I mean, none of this stuff was stuff that we planned for, not in advance. But you know, the good news is that we're not the only ones that have life messed up, I guess, from time to time. Everybody does. And on a more serious note, there's probably still people right now that had planned to go home for Christmas, but they're still stuck in Afghanistan trying to figure out how to get home. There's still some Phoenix Suns fans that thought they were going to be hoisting a championship trophy. They had a 2-game lead. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? And all of a sudden, it didn't transpire. Or how about the Lions fans? Man, all they wanted to do was win one stinking game this year. Oh, wait, they did that. Thanks for letting me bring that in. But the question really becomes this. What does God do in the midst of those times where our plans go sideways? Now, I want to be serious for a second. What do we do when those plans go sideways? With our kids, or with our health, or with our job, or when something serious hits the fan, what do? When things aren't going according to plan, and now we're freaked out, and now we're afraid of the future, and now we don't know what comes next, what do? Because that's the next gift, really, that God has for you. How does he use these times to bring us peace again? And there's stuff that he gives us in his word that's super helpful. And again, the word Savior means something when you need to be rescued. So what are some of the things that he does? One of the first things, I just need you to know this for perspective, is one of the first things that does when things go sideways is he tries to get your attention. Now, let me be clear on this point. Every messed up plan is not God's plan. Please hear me on that. Every messed up plan is not God's plan. God is not the author of evil, right? God is not the designer of bad plans. He's way too smart for that. So when someone is abused or mistreated or raped, you got to know that God didn't plan that. In fact, God is screaming from heaven, don't do that. It's called sin. Don't do sin. Don't bring all that evil upon somebody else in this world. Why are you doing that? It's so important that we get when things are happening. Don't be fatalistic and say, well, it happened. It must be God's will. No. There's tons of things in this world that are not part of God's will, not part of his plan. He's not the author of evil. Whose fault is it then when evil happens in the world? It's the perpetrator of that evil, isn't it? Sometimes it's us, sometimes it's somebody else that complicates our life. The reason the world is so messed up the way it is because it's our fault. I know we live in a culture now where we don't want to admit any responsibility for anything, but let's at least admit that. It's because of evil people in this world. God's given us his book before anybody in this world was born, and he's screaming out, follow me. This is not the way I have it set up. This is not the plans I have for this world. Please turn. I can give you example after example of somebody who went through just a divorce or a catastrophe or whatever, and instead of blaming the person at fault, themselves, other people, it's just easier to blame God. So you got to start by just having a perspective that God desires something different. In fact, God says in his word over and over that he has good plans for us. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Plans to give us hope and a future. That's what he says. And so when life gets a little bit messy sometimes, I think a lot of times it's important just to start with the fact that God has something better for us out there, right? That it's because of our own dumb decisions or other people's dumb decisions, hurtful decisions, that we're struggling in the way we are, or the fact that we live in a messy and incomplete and broken world, that a lot of bad things happen. The other truth that sometimes I think we need to understand is that God does intervene at times, and he does mess with our plans just a little bit, and in those rare occasions, the virgin birth being one of them, he always does it because he has something better in store for us. He has better plans than the ones that we're pursuing at that moment. But either way, when our plans get messed up, something crazy usually happens. In the midst of that pain, in the midst of that confusion, in the midst of that hurt, all of a sudden our ears are open in a different way than they are at other times in our life, especially when things are going well. And all of a sudden he gets our attention in maybe ways he hasn't gotten our attention in years. It's not like he doesn't try to do it the easy way. You know, he says, meditate on my word day and night, right? Spend time with me. I want to get to know you. Be in my word. But that doesn't always happen. In fact, he says this in Psalm 81. God says, I wish my people would listen to me. So let me ask you, why is it that you think we don't listen to God very well? I don't think it's just unique to you guys or to me. I think it's just a truism in our world today. And I think it's because, if you're anything like me, it's because of all the noise. We're too consumed with the TV and the talk shows and the radios and the voices and the phones that we don't give ourselves enough space, that we don't give ourselves enough silence for our eyes or our ears or our lives to be connected to God anew. We're so consumed with everything that's going on that we don't even spend time with the Savior of the world as we're approaching his birthday. We lose sight of main things. We lose sight of him. So there's times in our life where God tries to get our attention, or he uses things in our life to get our attention. Why? Because he loves us, because he wants us to stop destroying ourselves, complicating our lives, hurting other people and ourselves. He's crying out to us, trying to get our attention. And so he wants to spare us in the midst of that from pain. I'll give you some examples of this. When I was a kid, this is news for my parents who are watching right now. But the reality is, I did some of the dumbest things known to man. It's amazing I'm alive today. Let's just be honest. The construction sites by our house provided all sorts of death-defying things that me and my buddies were prone to get into. We put on sweatshirts and went and shot each other with BB guns and BB guns and wars. I still have a buddy who has a scar right there from one of the BB guns. It's insane. But clearly the dumbest thing that I ever did in my whole life was we built a go-kart. All right? And, you know, box wheels on it, jerry-rigged a steering wheel, some rope and stuff like that. It was super cool. And we tied it to the back of bikes because that's how you could get it to go fast. And then we tested how good of drivers we were. And so the person on the bike would go as fast as they could down the street. And then we got so good, we thought, hey, let's whip you around the corner, see if you can, you know, keep it going right, you know. And so we would do that, and we had so much fun, but invariably sometimes we couldn't keep it right, and we'd go off on its side, and then sparks would fly, and okay. So one of those times was happening. My buddy was going super fast, he whipped around the corner, I tried with all my might to keep it right side up, but it didn't, and it went on its side, and so the sparks were flying. This was before helmets, by the way, and so I'm keeping my head, you know, this way so it's not pounding against the pavement, and all of a sudden the car's coming the other way. She was one of our neighbors. She screeched her brakes on as the cart slid on its side all the way to her bumper. She got out of her car and she yelled at us. She said some not nice things, but she basically said, "What are you guys doing? Stop doing this." And then she didn't call our parents, which is wonderful, but that makes this news to my parents who are here today. But anyway, so I started thinking about that whole experience the other day. And I just kind of imagined, what if I was that mom, right? And I was witnessing this just idiotic thing that my kids were doing. What would I do? And what I wouldn't do is pull out of my phone and say, this is going to make a great video for America's Home, you know, Funniest Home Videos. I would have got out of the car just like she did and say, hey guys, hey, let's stop doing this. Probably in a little bit more forceful way, right? Maybe more direct way. Maybe I would have said some things that weren't very nice. I don't know, but I would have tried to get their attention, because I could, now being 52, I can see what's going to happen in the future if they don't stop, right? I'm wise enough to see what's coming ahead. So I'd get out of the car and I'd share with them, stop doing this, guys. You're going to hurt yourself. And they're going to say, oh, Dad, why are you killing all our fun? But again, it's because I can see the big picture. I can see the emergency room and the suffering and the tears and the stitches and the cost involved. I'd want to get their attention. And I think Scripture is filled with examples of God trying to get our attention in this life. And sometimes He uses the hard things. But God's just saying over and over, if you do these things, guys, your life's going to go so much better. There's more blessing. There's less pain. There's more things I can do. This is the way I've provided. It's the way I've shown you is the safest way forward. But if you keep doing these dumb things, let's just pretend it's called sin, okay? It's going to cause you some misery and some guilt and some resentment and broken relationships and anger and worry and heartache and on and on and on. You're going to complicate your life. You're going to destroy parts of your life if you keep going this direction. Those kind of things are going to mess up your life, he says. And I love you too much just to stand by and watch all this happen. And so I'm screaming out as loud as I can through my word, I'm over here. I'm here. Stop doing these things. And 2,000 years ago, God used a little baby at Christmas as just another one of those things to try to get our attention. Here's the thing. We're still celebrating this baby today. It should be the thing that gets all of our attentions on a yearly basis because we're still celebrating it 2,022 years later. But sometimes I think God just wants to get our attention, so He uses sometimes the hard things to do that very thing. He also reminds us that He's got better plans. I mean, I know you guys are all brilliant and you guys have awesome plans, but sometimes I create dumb plans for myself and for my family. And God just kind of sometimes has to remind me, I've got better plans, Mike. So when our plans get all messed up, what God allows to happen sometimes, the reason He does is to get us back online with His plans, which, just as a reminder, are clearly better than ours. In fact, He says this in Jeremiah 29:11, I know what I'm planning for you guys, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope in a future. That's God's plan for your life. He wants good stuff. I think a lot of people, and I've talked to them, I think they think if they really give their lives over to God, their lives are going to be boring, right? Or God's going to make them some kind of Amish person and they're just done. I mean, it would be horrible for the rest of their life, but that couldn't be further from the truth. God has incredibly great plans for your life. He wants to use you in amazing ways. Why? Because He knows you, and He made you, and He created all these people around you to reach out and share with them about Him. He wants to bring out the best in your life. And so one of the things, and this is probably the last part, is He messes up our plans sometimes just to get us to trust Him a little bit more. Imagine how God's plan at Christmas tested Joseph's faith, just for instance. Right, that your bride-to-be comes to you and says, hey, I'm pregnant, and it's not with your baby. Are you going to believe that God somehow orchestrated this virgin birth? Or how about Mary? Nobody in the history of mankind is going through what she's going through. Nobody's ever carried the Savior of the world. Nobody's had to give birth to Jesus. Nobody had to, can you imagine being His parents? You'd always be second-guessing yourself, thinking you were going to destroy something about the rest of the world. God's plan was just so different. All they could do was trust. And it just got more complicated. After that, they had to flee to Egypt, and on the story goes. So why did God allow circumstances in our lives sometimes that don't make sense? And the answer is to give us an opportunity to express our faith and to develop our trust in Him. The Bible also says this, that there's only one way to please God. Do you know what it is? It's not through religion, and it's not through ritual, and it's not through keeping rules or regulations. Scripture actually says this, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Not just difficult, but impossible. So what does that mean? It means He wants you to learn to trust Him. Again, God of heavens and earth can do anything, created you so He could love you. His whole desire, right? His whole desire is to get you to heaven so that you can spend eternity with Him, so that He can watch over you and bless you and keep you His forever and ever and ever. He just wants you to learn to trust Him in that. Think about it as parents. If you have kids, how geeked out do you get when they actually trust something that you say? I mean, that they actually trust that you have more experience than they do or more wisdom than they do. I think they trust you about till 10, and then you're dumb until they're 20, and then you start getting smart again. I don't know how that works. I guess we have a lack of experience during those periods of time. I don't know. But He wants you to learn to trust Him more. So what do you do when plans fall through? What does God say? You trust Him. You trust his wisdom. You trust his love. You trust that he loves you. You trust that he's working all things, even the horrible, horrible things, somehow, some way out for your good. The Bible says this in a wonderful promise that he makes in Romans 8:28. He says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose." Think about that verse just for a second. First of all, it says we know. It's not that we have to guess. We can be certain, right? We have certainty in life. We know that for all those that love God, and so this isn't a promise for everybody, all things do not work together for the good of those that are rejecting God or going against God, but they only work together for the good if you love God. And then it says, if that's true, it works together for your good. Not all things are good, clearly, but they work together for your good. Because the truth is, there's a lot of bad in our world. There's a lot of evil in our world. But God brings good out of bad. A lot of you guys are old enough, right, where you've seen horrible things happen in your life, and you've seen on the other side God somehow use that manure pile to create something beautiful on the other side. There's a lot of bad in the world, but God promises again and again, I will bring good out of the bad for you. There is another season. For who? For all those that are called according to his purpose. And so if you commit your life to living according to his purposes, his promise is that everything will work out for your good, for his purpose. I think that's important. Because right now, I just imagine, even in this room where you guys are all amazing, that this Christmas you may be feeling a little bit discouraged or lonely or stressed out by plans that haven't gone according to plan. Maybe this Christmas you're celebrating Christmas after a bad divorce or a death or a disability. Or maybe you're just freaked out about finances right now and you don't know what that's going to be or how it's going to transpire or how you're going to make it as you move into the future. And the truth is, we don't know what's going to happen in 2022. We have no idea. Well, we know that some of you who are sitting here right now aren't going to be here next year. That's a truth. We also know some other things. We know that God has a plan for your life. The fact that you're breathing and sitting here right now means he has other things for you to do in this world. He's not done with you yet. We also know that he'll be with you every step of the way in 2022. That no matter what the difficulty or hardship or celebration, that he's right by your side. That he's giving you strength to endure, to take the next step. That he's giving you peace to in the midst of the chaos that is your life. That he's giving you his hope, forgiveness. And that you're forgiven in the name of Jesus. Why? Because he sent to you a Savior. Because he loves you that much. Because of Jesus, you are forgiven. So what should I do when life doesn't make any sense? Well, you did what the wise men did in the story. You seek God. You start trusting him with more and more and more in your life. For God makes promises in his word. Again, in Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. The wise men were seekers, and wise people today are still seeking, running to God when things get messy in their life. For scripture reveals again and again that Jesus is the key to forgiveness and peace and hope and joy. He's the author of new beginnings and fresh starts and a forgiven past. He is the one that loves you more than you could comprehend. His desire is that you be with him forever. And so my prayer today is seek him today and be found. In fact, that's my prayer for this whole Christmas season. Seek him today and be found. And let him start saving the messy parts of your life, starting right now. Experience and feel that forgiveness. Grab hold of that fresh start. And receive hope in the midst of this crazy, crazy world today. Guys, go with those words. Go with that gift and his promises in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much. And, you know, again, Lord, Christmas is awesome. And I get geeked out, Lord, so much by just the ambiance, I guess, the lights and the music. And I don't know, even Santa Claus, I get geeked out about all this stuff. But when you talk about coming as a Savior, I know it's for the real times in my life. It's for those times where I'm afraid or not making it or concerned or worried about the future. It's the times where I don't know how to move past my past or deal with these circumstances or difficulties in my relationships or my work or whatever. And yet again and again, your word tells us how much you care about us. It tells us that you walk with us. It tells us that you strengthen us. It tells us that you see everything and you're working, even behind the scenes, somehow, some way for our good. And Father, I cling to those things. That's why I love you so much, that you love me enough to send us Jesus. And for that, I'm forever thankful. And it's that we pray, and we pray it in the name of Jesus this day. And all God's people said, amen.